Good morning, this is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. Neither snow nor rain nor gloom of night may, but can no contract stay these couriers from their appointed rounds. At midnight tonight, the present contract with the postal unions expires, and Susan Spencer reports that agreement on a new contract still seems far off.
Federal mediators got both sides in the postal talks to agree on at least one thing yesterday, to let the press in for a brief photo session this morning, on this, the final day of bargaining before the contract expires. Mediators met most of yesterday with the Postal Service, then last night talked with representatives of the three unions, who among them represent more than 500,000 postal employees. The key sticking point, still the no layoff clause, a provision in the current contract the unions want to keep. One union official say they will strike for. The Postal Service has taken the strike threat with a grain of salt, preparing mainly for the kind of wildcat strike action staged when unions were without a contract in 1970. But should there be a strike, and should it be serious, the Defense Department is said to be prepared to provide up to 90,000 troops to help get out the mail. Observers say that contract talks in 1975 went about like these have, leaving the hardest issues to the end, keeping up the suspense. In 1975, the union settled 2 hours and 15 minutes after the contract expired. To negotiators this morning, that probably looks pretty good. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Washington.
Thousands of commuters were stranded this morning in the nation's capital. A wildcat strike of mechanics kept the subways and many buses from running in Washington, the mechanics demanding a cost of living pay hike. In Philadelphia, a turn for the better in labor negotiations there, Walt Hunter of CBS station WCAU reports.
There's been a break in the week-long city workers' strike that has piled up trash and garbage on the streets of Philadelphia. After a marathon bargaining session that ran into the early morning hours, city and union officials announced a tentative contract settlement. 20,000 city workers will vote on the proposal tomorrow and could be back on the jobs Monday morning if the contract is ratified. In the meantime, Philadelphia faces another hot day without trash and garbage collections. Most city swimming pools, health centers, and recreation facilities are also shut down. Walt Hunter for CBS News in Philadelphia.
Many garbage collectors remain on strike in New Orleans protesting the disrepair of their vehicles. Police in New York, who've been staging a number of demonstrations, have reached a tentative contract agreement with this city. Their delegate assembly votes on the pact today.
At Datsun, we don't let up for a second. We are driven to be first.
We are driven.
Take our Datsun King Cab, first small pickup that doubles as a car. Console, opera windows, cut pile carpeting, steel belted radials, and a first for pickups of any size, reclining bucket seats. Behind those seats, a small truck exclusive, up to 11 cubic feet of storage space.
All the comforts of a car.
All the tough of a truck.
The King Cab, one of three Datsun pickups, number one import for 19 straight years. Whichever one you choose, remember, there's one quality that sets Datsun apart from all other pickups. Datsun. Quality.
Nobody demands more from a Datsun than Datsun. We are driven.
There's only one place to get a King Cab, at your Datsun dealer. Now.
President Carter holds a news conference tonight to be heard over many of these CBS radio network stations at 8 Eastern Time. Until yesterday, many of the questions might have concerned the Bonn summit and Mr. Carter's retaliation against the Soviets. But now, there is the affair of the president's drug abuse advisor, who put a fictional name on a sedative prescription for an emotionally troubled White House staffer. Ed Bradley has more.
The White House released two statements last night. The first, from Dr. Peter Bourne, said that he was taking a leave of absence until the matter had been resolved. White House Press Secretary Jody Powell said if it is legal and appropriate, that leave would be with pay. The second statement was from Ellen Metzke, administrative assistant to Dr. Bourne, and the person for whom the pills were intended. Metzke said she feared her name would be known by those in the drug field who might attempt to influence policy. Dr. Bourne's statement said they were both concerned about the protection of her confidentiality with regard to her taking medication, and the creation of a record anywhere that she had been treated by a psychiatrist. Press Secretary Powell said Dr. Bourne had written about 10 other prescriptions for people who work here at the White House. about half of them for controlled substances. Two of the prescriptions were for the president's chief aide, Hamilton Jordan. They were for an antibiotic and for diet pills. Ed Bradley, CBS News, the White House.
A Soviet policeman guarding the U.S. Embassy in Moscow today roughed up the embassy second secretary and tore his coat. The motive is unclear. The Russians, in the meantime, are voicing their displeasure over President Carter's cancellation of a computer sale and other trade restrictions in response to the Soviet convictions of two American reporters. Bernard Redmont reports.
The Soviet Communist Party newspaper Pravda calls the action an old, rusty instrument of pressure and blackmail. Pravda comments that certain circles in Washington repeatedly try to put this tactic into play, and Pravda adds that every time it fails. Pravda also calls the action a Cold War lever. The Soviet paper says that the measure will be detrimental to the United States itself. Pravda avoids saying the move was taken because of U.S. concern about recent Soviet trials. The government newspaper Izvestia has also denounced trade restrictions in similar terms. Izvestia warns that the U.S. will damage only its own economic interests and says Washington is using Soviet-American trade as a means of blackmail. The Soviet papers say that influential forces in the U.S. want to return to confrontation with communist countries. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
Secretary of State Vance is heading home today after Mideast talks that produced little more than an agreement to keep talking. Marvin Kaub reports from London.
During the Leeds Castle talks, there was, according to informed sources here, a tentative probing of the idea of Israel returning the Sinai town of El Arish to Egyptian civilian control. There was also some preliminary talk about a possible Israeli troop withdrawal in the Sinai, in effect another disengagement agreement. Apparently this concept was raised last week by President Sadat in his Austria talks with Israeli Defense Minister Weizmann, raised in the context of Israel making a cost-free grand gesture to Egypt, a kind of response to Sadat's visit to Jerusalem. The Israelis are ready to discuss a gesture, including another pullback of their forces, but it's understood not without some price connected to the process of signing a peace treaty. There is a giant irony here. Last November, during Sadat's visit to Jerusalem, Prime Minister Begin offered a major Israeli pullback in the Sinai as a counter gesture. But Sadat turned it down then, saying it would look too much like a separate deal. Now, as an interim step, that seems to be what he wants. Marvin Kaub, CBS News, London.
Egypt continues to sound reluctant to talk on. Its foreign minister quoted today as saying Israel must produce new ideas if there are to be more talks.
Dotson builds a lot of wagons, and everyone is a lot of wagons.
Nobody commands more from a Dotson than Dotson.
Only Dotson brings you this complete fleet of economy wagons. The front-wheel drive F10, the luxurious 810, and now the perfectly sized Dotson 510, the best all-around Dotson wagon yet. With power front disc brakes, reclining buckets, steel-belted radials, five big doors, and room for the whole kit and caboodle. When it comes to choice, when it comes to quality, come to Dotson. When we build a wagon, we lay down one law. It better have room for everything except improvement. Come check out the big wagon selection at your Dotson dealer today.
The project to keep Skylab in orbit is nearing completion today. Eric Engberg has the story from Houston.
The maneuver scheduled for today is designed to put the Skylab on a path that will carry it through space like a boat moves through water, its nose facing the direction of flight. If that can be done, the very thin atmosphere the empty spacecraft encounters in its 240-mile high orbit won't exert as much resistance as it does now, and Skylab's life in space will be prolonged. NASA wants to keep it flying until 1980. By then, it plans to be able to have a space shuttle crew attach a rocket to the dead Skylab so it can be moved to a higher orbit or steered into the ocean. Today, flight controllers plan to fire small thrusters on the craft to change its position. They did the same thing a month ago, but an equipment failure on board the dying Skylab caused it to go out of control again, into a tumbling motion which increases the speed at which it moves toward the Earth and toward destruction. Eric Engberg, CBS News at the Manned Spacecraft Center.
There was no break in the heat wave in the southwest. In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's a run on ice to cool off the water in swimming pools.
Have you got $10,000 or maybe $1,000? Consider Crocker Bank's market yield certificates. These $10,000 minimum deposit certificates earn the same interest rate as six-month treasury bills with three distinct advantages. There's no brokerage fee. Now that's a nice little savings right there. They're automatically renewable at the rate in effect when they mature, so you needn't lose a single day of interest. And at your request, we'll send you an interest check every month. If you don't have $10,000, you can still open a high-interest account. With a minimum deposit of $1,000, our 8-year certificates will pay 7.75% interest. And our 8-year bonus passbook account gives you the same high-interest rate. And you can add to it whenever you like. So come into any of our more than 350 Crocker Bank offices today and ask us about our market yield certificates or any of our savings plans.
Come to Crocker and give us the business. Then give us the business.
Crocker Bank, member FDIC. Federal regulations require a substantial penalty for early withdrawal.
Today, Johnstown, Pennsylvania remembers what happened a year ago, the flood that killed 77 people, left 8 still missing, and caused $500 million in damage. Mitchell Krause looks at Johnstown a year later.
Following today's memorial services, work will continue on the recovery effort that officials say is only 20% complete, despite an outpouring of more than $300 million in federal and state aid. Every day, new damage is uncovered beneath the streets, and recent rains have caused new flooding and erosion along the banks of many streams. There are economic problems, too. Unemployment benefits for an estimated 3,500 workers laid off following flood damage to parts of the Bethlehem Steel Complex run out soon. This raises fears that a new business setback will come in the fall. And for about 400 people who still live in government-furnished mobile housing because their homes were destroyed or damaged in the flood, there's the specter of rent, which must be paid if the trailers are occupied for more than a year. In addition, some homeowners are bitter that the only aid they received was in the form of low-interest, federally guaranteed loans, which they must repay. Despite it all, most people say they'll stay in the Johnstown area because it's home. Mitchell Krause, CBS News, Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
In a McCall's Magazine interview released today, the wife of Senator Edward Kennedy says it was the talk about her husband seeing other women that drove her to drink. Joan Kennedy says she has now won out over alcoholism with the help of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis and Alcoholics Anonymous.